This is the BritLit Podcast with dramatic readings and dialogues from British literature.
Welcome to the BritLit Podcast. We are continuing our series of discussions here. And today joining me is Daniel. And we are going to talk a little bit about the English language today. As we've kind of gone through our studies, we've been looking at different phases of the English language as it's changed and evolved. But let's kind of start us off, Daniel. Introduce where did the English language originate?
Well,
what's the beginnings?
Yeah, basically, it all started like in the Roman Empire with the Latin, I guess, because after they took over the Greeks in the ancient times, I guess you heard, they started spreading their language all across their empire because they wanted them to speak it. So,
and which is why we have our handy Latin vocabulary books, right? We love those.
I love those books. It's grades.
Yeah, great. No, but that's why we study Latin, right? Because that's been a lot of the influence here. And one of the things we've been talking about, this lingua franca. What is that?
Well, the lingua franca is basically the common language of the world or known world.
Okay.
But also another name is like the trade language.
Okay.
So basically what the work is done in. Like if you're going to the marketplace, this would be spoken.
And that's really kind of the whole purpose of language early on was survival, right?
Yeah.
And that you needed to communicate to be able to do that, and we needed to do that to trade, to communicate, to operate daily life. But there was a kind of a shift from lingua franca to Latin. What happened there?
Well, let's see. As I guess the Latin was the lingua franca of the world, I guess, because everyone spoke it. But the more religious figures were speaking the Bible,
the formal Latin, right?
The formal Latin was written for the Bible stuff. So.
Okay. So you know, we talked about this idea of just communicating to survive. And we move into these ideas of languages for literature, for imparting knowledge, and I guess we can move even beyond that. We haven't quite gotten there yet, and so we're setting up. We started with this Latin, but surely English is much different than Latin. We have a lot of other there was a lot of other influences that came in. So what were some of the other early influences here?
Well, when Romans took over the British Isles at the very beginning, there was people who spoke a Celtic language there.
Right.
And so the very first origins that kind of would mix with other languages to become English was a Celtic Latin language.
Well, the Celtic language was kind of like more of a Gaelic.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So we have that Gaelic form, and then the Latin came in. And then Germanic as well.
Yeah, once the Germanic tribes came in and started taking over the outlying parts of the Roman Empire, they actually took over England at the time. And so
that's where we had this kind of this Gaelic, German, Latin thing going on.
The Anglo-Saxon language, actually.
Right. And so when we had the Anglo-Saxon, when we talk about Anglo-Saxon literature, because we've read Beowulf and The Wanderer and some of those other Anglo-Saxon pieces, that was really more of a it's completely different than we had today. It was this Germanic, very, very different. In fact, I think, do we have a clip that
we do.
Well, let's go ahead and play that clip here. This is Beowulf.
A clip from Beowulf, yes.
We'll play the introduction to Beowulf as read in Old English. So what are we listening for here?
Oh, well, you'll hear a very like German sound to it, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
When you listen to it, you might think it kind of sounds like a German speaking today.
Right, if you've traveled to Germany. Yeah. All right, well, let's take a listen.
Huet, we gar dena in yer dahum theod kinninga strim jufrunon, hu sa ezelingas ellen fremedon. Oft schild shaving, shazana threatum, monium meiso meodo settla of teach. Eiso de Erlas, sis an erest wearth fairschaft funden. He says,
Way different there.
It's like not like us, our English at all, really.
Right, totally. I mean, totally foreign language here.
I wouldn't be able to understand that at all.
Yeah, it's got that very German feel to it. Now, obviously, our language has changed quite a bit since then. What, because that's so our language right now is so different from that. What's happened? What changed?
What happened next, I guess, is the Normans came in, up from France, and they conquered England now. And they brought with them one of their French taste to the English language, I guess.
Okay.
So they mixed their French, or their former French, with the Anglo-Saxon Old English that we have.
So the language that we have nowadays is French?
Not quite, because there's other stuff afterwards, too.
Okay, well, let's hear then. Yeah. That would be known as...
Middle English.
Middle English. Okay, so we've heard that term before, Middle English. That is then with the French involvement, mm-hmm. the involvement from the Normans. Well, let's go ahead and play a clip. We have a clip from...
The Canterbury Tales this time.
Quintessential Middle English, yes. Geoffrey Chaucer. This is from the introduction to the Canterbury Tales. Mm-hmm. So let's hear the difference here.
One that April with a sure sort, the drought of March has pierced to the rot, and bathed every vine in switch liqueur, of which virtue engendered is the flour. One zephyrous ache with a sweeter breath, in spirit hath in every halt and heath the tender croppers, and the younger sonne has in thrummis halve course irunne, and smaller fools marken melodies that sleepen as they nicht with open ears.
So there, we can kind of pick out some of those words there.
Yeah, like I heard the word showers, I heard like melody and stuff. Like uh-huh. A lot of those words have the same kind of sound that we have, like the clauses that we have in our language. You know, so
we can kind of pick some of this out. It's sounding some a little bit more familiar now. Definitely much different from the old English,
yes.
where it was totally Germanic. Now a lot of that French vocabulary came in, but still that right there, that's very much different than what we have now. So what more has changed?
In the mid 15th century there was a great vowel shift, and this kind of changed how they sound. Like, you know, like showers was like shewers
uh-huh.
in the sound clip,
right?
But like now it's showers because the ow sounds uh-huh. of the oo.
Okay,
that's one of the major vowel changes that happened in this time.
So all of a sudden, and basically, kind of the big idea here is that we have outside influences. A big part of the English language revolves around conquest and invasion,
yeah.
right? You know, other empires or civilizations coming in, bringing their language in. But then some of it, you know, with the vowel shift, this language kind of happens from within. Now, barring some other conquest of the United States, is our language going to stay the same forever?
Well, not really, because as we grow more technologically mm-hmm. advanced, we will have more vocabulary, more groups of words, like combinations of stuff that like they can make into words that aren't really necessarily the way that language will not be the same as it had before. So.
Okay. So, I mean, when you talk about slang,
yeah.
when you talk about how life changed in society, I mean, things like vowel shifts happen. Vocabulary changes.
Dialects, too.
Yeah, dialects change as well. But you did a little bit of research.
I did.
This is interesting to see. Because words are being added all the time, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Give me a little sampling.
In the Merriam-Webster 2006 dictionary add-ins, they added... Label mate, which is a singer or musician who records for the same company as another.
So that's that's a totally new word because of the way our record companies
yeah.
work. Label mate
yeah.
is a new word. Okay, so things like that. Okay, interesting.
And another fun one I found was like unibrow is a new word.
Classic.
Yes.
Which
obviously is when your eyebrows grow together
right.
and you have one, looks like you have one eyebrow. So.
Now in the dictionary, the word in the dictionary,
okay. unibrow will be there.
Classic. So things like this happen as time, sandwich generation was
mm-hmm.
another one that
yeah.
started to happen. And so these words start to become, isn't Google a verb now?
Yeah.
I mean,
all this stuff is just...
Right. So now all of a sudden,
so.
Yeah, with technology or with different things changing... language still changes,
mm-hmm.
so it's interesting to see how language does develop, and you kind of keep an eye out for things that that do happen and change. But we've again the major where we've gotten today. A lot of it has been from conquest and from invasion. We
mm-hmm.
see it from or even from adopting other cultures
yeah.
and other societies. So you've prepared a game.
I've
right?
prepared a game, and my game is. The way, or I'm going to tell you one English word,
okay,
and you are going to tell me whether it is originated from Spanish, French, or Italian.
Okay, so I get multiple choice here.
You get multiple choice.
Okay. All right, now we have received some complaints the last time we tried a game on the Dylan Thomas extravaganza from last season. It came across a little bit planned.
Scripted a little bit.
Sounded somewhat scripted. So today we are going to completely reverse. I do not have the answers, so we're going to expose some of my ignorance here. So I have no idea. I have not seen these before, so we're actually... There's going to be a little bit of competition here, right?
Yeah.
A little bit.
And y'all can play along at home as well.
Okay, yeah. Play along. Absolutely play along at home. All right, so first word.
The first word is adversary.
Adversary.
Is that French, Spanish, or Italian?
Adversary. I mean, it doesn't sound Spanish. I'm going to go with the Normans. Is it French?
It is French.
Woohoo!
Good job. It comes from the French word adversaire.
Okay, so, all right, do we need... we're keeping score here. Mr.
Right,
Craig,
Mr. Craig won.
Has won. I'm 1-for-1 here, batting 1,000. All right, you at home, keep score.
All right, this one's the easy one. You should get this one.
Okay. Okay. Don't set me up here. Okay.
You should get this one. It's easy. Okay, the word is burrito.
Oh, burrito. Is that Italian? All right, Spanish.
Yes,
right. Okay, Spanish. 2-for-2. Good.
Some of these are pretty
keep
easy.
Keep the easy ones coming. I got to keep that batting average up.
All right. Next word is acoustic.
Ooh, acoustic. Acoustic. Well, I know that guitar is actually Islamic. I'm gonna go with Italian.
This one's French.
Ouch.
It comes from the word acoustique, which is the French
right,
word for that. So
wrong. See, I should have known that because the Islamic Empire had a lot of French.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Could have taken it. All right.
And next word is porcelain.
Porcelain. Now that one sounds Italian to me.
That one is Italian. It's from Porcelana.
You gotta ask me final answer. So.
Oh yeah, I'll do that.
All right, so I'm 3-for-4.
3-for-4. Okay. That's pretty good.
All right, not bad.
There's 10 questions. So.
Okay.
Next word is patio.
Patio. Patio. Let's go with French.
Is that your final answer?
Italian.
I added the
No. I'll stick with French.
It's not French or Italian. It's Spanish.
Really? Patio. Interesting. That reminds me, I need to work on our patio. We got to clean it up. It's time for some spring cleaning. Thank you for that reminder.
You're welcome.
All right, 3-for-5.
Next one is gallery.
Gallery, Italian.
That's the
right. Okay, got that one.
That one's easy. Next one I have for you is tuna.
Tuna. Ooh, tuna. I think Italians eat tuna.
But by the ocean, by the Mediterranean.
Yeah, by the Mediterranean. Let's go with Italian.
Is that your final answer?
No. Well, I know now. See, it's probably French.
I'm pretty good at this. I'm awful at this, actually.
Well, Regis has
it's not French either.
Job security.
See, that's what...
Yeah, it's not? It's not Italian?
It's not Italian or French. It's Spanish.
Really? Another Spanish word there. All right. I'm still plus 500, so
yes.
Let's keep it going.
All right. Next word is bronze.
Bronze. Bronze sounds Italian to me.
Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
Okay. That's good. That's right. It's
got it. Okay. Well, because, okay.
Bronze.
Continue on.
Next word is bicycle.
Bicycle. Bicycle. By meaning to.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with that Italian, that Latin.
No.
French.
Just French.
Interesting. French word. All right, I'm cutting it close here. I'm 5-4.
Last one. All right, this one is sketch.
Sketch. Wow. See, I didn't take French or Italian. And I know Italian's a little bit more similar to Spanish. I'm going to go with French.
I say Italian. So
it's Italian.
It's Italian.
Sad. Well, I finished 500.
That's
5-for-10. Not
bad.
Good. Respectable.
Yeah.
Compare
it's
your scores.
Hard game.
Yeah, it's a difficult game. That was excellent. Excellently done. Those of you at home, if you'd like to log on to britlit.podomatic.com, leave a message with your score and share how badly you defeated Mr. Craig in your knowledge of the changing English language. Well, excellent job, Daniel. Thank you for imparting your knowledge.
Yep.
And again, let's do a final plug. Come and check out the website, britlit.podomatic.com. We'd love to hear your comments and your feedback. Thanks for listening.
Bye. Adios.
You've been listening to the BritLit Podcast, a production of Mr. Craig's 12th grade British literature class in Grapevine, Texas. Check us out on iTunes or leave a comment at the website at britlit.podomatic.com. Listen in next time for more dramatic readings and dialogues.